Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
As I was listening to this encore show, I realized how this country has deteriorated in moral backbone and allegiance to God. This country needs your loyalty and prayer power like never before, because ultimately we are fighting against a spiritual demonic power. Darren quotes 1 John 3:8 that Jesus came for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. He ends the program with Exodus 11:15, "Who is like thee, O Lord, glorious in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders, who is like thee, O Lord." Now let's join the program.
Well, we're delighted to be with you today, and we will tell you our toll-free number if you'd like to call is 1-866-917-7256. I've got Barbara back with me today, so I have to be good here and make sure
you
that I don't do anything off the track.
That's right.
Now, Portland, we're going to be with you at the Shiloh Inn on Airport Way, and most of you know where that is. You can get there by taking I-205, and when you hit the exit for Airport Way, just go east. If you're coming south over the bridge, while you duck under the interstate, and you'll see the Shiloh Inn. It's a big place. It's about a long block east of I-205. We're going to be there on September 28th. Now, that's the last Saturday of this month. We'll be there at 8:30 in the morning. We're going to have a breakfast buffet. It's something new. We haven't done that in Portland before. We did it in Denver, and we enjoyed it very, very much. But we'll be there at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday the 28th. You need to make a reservation with us. And you can call that toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256. It'll be $10 at the door, but I can tell you their food is really great there at the Shiloh.
Yes, Shiloh has great food. But remember to leave your name, your entire name, not "this is Joe" or "this is Martha." You've got to have your whole name, your first and last name. And we will then collect the $10 at the door. And it's just really well worth it. Give yourself a treat. Give yourself a treat. We come every other month to Oregon. And so I hope that you mark that Saturday and make it, just blank it out. Say, "Darren Live. That's my day. I'm gonna go enjoy a good breakfast and have a good teaching."
And if we've not met you before, we want to meet you. And if we met you before, of course, we want to see you again. Now, if you're not on our mailing list, when you call, why don't you give us your address and your zip code? And if you have a difficult name or an unusual name, why talk slow so we can understand what you're saying. And we don't call you back to confirm these. We just accept that right off the telephone, off the answering machine. And the way it works is that's 24 hours a day. And that's also a prayer line or a prayer request line. And then just before the show, some of you wonder how it works. Well, just before the show, we forward that phone number right here to the studio so we can talk to you live on the air. Now, some of you don't call, and you should. You really should call. And we received a letter from you, but I'll tell you why I'd like to hear from you on the air. Number one, I don't have time to call you and chase your answering machine and all this kind of stuff off air. So I ask you to call us here. We'll talk to you live. And, we're not too tough on you, I don't think. But we'll give you some answers out of the Bible to help things go better for your lifestyle. And the other reason why I'd like for you to call is Barb and I can't carry all that prayer load by ourselves. So we have people listening that'll be glad to pray for you. And I'll tell you how I know they pray. They'll ask me even months after a phone call, they say, "Did you ever hear back from so-and-so? I've been praying for them." And I have to tell them sometimes with a red face, something? They never call me back. And I have some people ask me, how many people call you back, Darren, after they get healed or they get delivered or they get an amazing answer from the Lord on your show? And I have to tell you, folks, it's less than 5%. And that it shouldn't be that way. It's almost like when Jesus said, "I thought there were 10 lepers, and only one came back. Where were the rest of them?" Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that part of your healing and part of the maintenance of your healing is to let the people know that have been praying for you that, "Hey, I got healed. I'm really serious about that." So when you get healed, and if you've had a miracle as a result of this show, this would be a great day to call and tell us. I mean, we'll never turn down encouragement. And it's always good for us to hear how God is working in your lives, and I know He is. I can tell you God has been working in my life. He gave me some great revelation. We've been putting that out and teaching on this 30-fold in 30 days, and God just keeps piling on more and more and more. So if you've been blessed by that teaching, let us know. If you're having a little time, hard time seeing that work in your life, we can help you. We're not embarrassed. We're not running off. And if it hasn't worked perfectly for you, well, give us a call. Maybe we can give you some ideas and some scriptures that help it get turned around.
That's right. Do you know, Darren, that this world, there are two camps in this world. Camp of good and camp of evil. And it is really good against evil, evil against good. And we see that every day of our lives, and we saw that in the Twin Towers in New York. We saw evil trying to overcome good, but praise God, we have a president who will not allow that, and we have a country that's coming back, and they're recognizing God. And I'm going to believe with all of you listeners that we're going to have a great revival in this land. I even heard a lady who said, I was raised a pagan, but they took down the Ten Commandments in our school here, and she says, I think it's horrible. Because that was something that I respected, and I'm a pagan. But it's a monument to me. It's what this school started with. And so
I would say it this way. She's a pagan on her way to becoming a Christian.
Right. Even non-believers, they're seeing the value of having moral standards and rules. And if you have a country that has no rules or regulations, it's going to be a country that no prosperity, goodness to it at all.
We were coming by a church today. I think it's a Baptist church, and their dad was pushing home this little bicycle and had training wheels on it. And it hit me. Oh, he probably escorted his child to school.
Yes.
It must be a preschool because this little bike was tiny.
It was.
It was really tiny. And mom was out there waving goodbye to dad. And I don't know, maybe she teaches there or whatever, but. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to bring up our children in the fear and the wonderment of the Lord. We need to tell them about Jesus. And I'll say this to you Christian parents. My dad said this to me, and I didn't listen, and probably some of you won't listen, but he said, Darren, you need to spend time with your kids because sooner than you realize, they'll be gone.
My dad said that to me.
And he was talking about, in fact, when I was in high school, I remember the day I graduated, he said, you need to really take a good look at these kids because you won't see them anymore. I thought, come on, Dad, I'm with them every day. And you know, he was right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody split for the four corners of the earth. Everybody had plans. Everybody had a different university to go to and colleges, and everybody had some place to go. And I didn't see those kids after that. Even though I lived in the same town with them, it was like everybody went, you know, 100 different directions. I would say this to you parents. Spend the time with your kids, mm-hmm. and you'd be glad you did.
Your dad was sure
you tell them about Jesus.
Your dad was a wise man. He really was. I remember when we were moving your mother down to Illinois, and we were cleaning the house, and I saw your dad's sermon notes. And I really wanted them, but I thought, you know, I'm a daughter-in-law, so I probably shouldn't ask for that. But now that your mom is in heaven, I'm going to maybe pressure your sister Arlene, who has all of your mom's things, to get me the little booklet that he had, the little journal that he had of all of his sermon notes. Because your dad, I know that he desired something deeper, but his religion wouldn't allow him
to,
and he was a pastor, so he felt like he had to submit to the hierarchy of that denomination. And it was so sad because I believe in his heart of hearts, Darren, he really wanted to do what God wanted him to do.
He had a tremendous desire, but mm-hmm. you know, I remember I was probably in about the fourth grade when I asked my mom a question about, you know, why we didn't believe like somebody else believed, and she said, well, now the bishops say this, and the bishops were head of the Methodist Church. Well, it wasn't, son, let me take you to the scriptures and show you what the scriptures say. They so sold out to that Methodist mindset that we had to figure out, now, what do the bishops and the superintendents and the, you know, the hierarchy of the church, what do they believe? What do they believe we're going to believe that? Instead of, and now, the reason that was that way is that's the way the bishops taught it. Instead of, let me take you to the scriptures and tell you why we believe what we believe. And so we were raised with, well, what does the church think? What does the church require? What does the church want? And so quite frequently we got over and said, well, you and we're Methodists because of the way we dressed, and we don't smoke, and we don't drink, and we don't gamble, all the don't-don'ts. Instead of saying, well, here's what we believe. And 1 John 3:8 says, Jesus Christ came for this reason, to destroy the works of the devil. We were busy trying to do that. Actually, that was one of our goals, but we were really saying, well, we need to line up and conform to the Methodist tradition here.
Well, and it's interesting that they didn't see the power, and yet they continued onward with their with their beliefs the way they were instead of trying to seek greater and greater things. Darren, it reminds me of the kings that we're reading about.
Well, just a minute before you get into the kings.
Chronicles.
What we were into, instead of Christianity, we were into churchianity.
Yeah, you're right. And you were.
It was too bad.
Yes.
It was really sad, but you know, that's where I found Jesus.
Yes, that's right. In a denomination.
That's right.
But then we had to leave. And some of you are struggling with that. You said, well, this is the church where all my friends are. This is the church where I received Jesus. Yes, but there is a season for everything. And as you grow in the Lord, if you belong to a church that doesn't believe in healings or doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or, you know, some of these really important issues, then it's time for you to step out and go to somewhere else.
Well, you know, just last Saturday I had a man come up and just precious person, just is a wonderful fellow, and I'd really like to know him well. But he said, you know, I was 43 years in the church, and finally I realized I was in the wrong place.
Oh.
And I know with great pain he had to leave that church and leave his friends.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I left a denominational church a couple years later, this person I thought a lot of said to me, why did you have to leave us? Why did you abandon us? Mm-hmm. I had to leave because I'd had my eyes open and I could no longer stay. And I so admired this fellow, so I asked him what church he'd been in. And he'd been a Presbyterian. But he said, I wasn't getting fed there. But we found a wonderful little church, and we just love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I admire you, sir, for making that. Because I know what it takes. It might mean you're leaving family. It might mean that you're leaving a lot of old-time friends that you've been friends for maybe a lifetime. Well, let me tell you, folks, you better go with God. And if you're in one of those dead deals, pay the price. And there is a price to pay. It is not easy. Barb and I have both gone through that. But you know, if you're going to go with God, you've got to go with God. And you can't stay in that tradition any longer, or you will die spiritually.
That's right. Well, here, as we're reading through Isaiah, Darren, I realize that so much depends on our personal relationship with God. And Isaiah was a cousin of King Uzziah. Isaiah was the prophet sent by God, and even two of his children were named for what was happening, quickly to the prey. And that meant that what was going to happen was going to happen quickly. And he named his children names that were the condition of the country just then. And
can you imagine saying swift to the booty, get over here?
Quick to the prey. And we see here that Uzziah was a great king. He was a wonderful king, had an enormous army. Everybody loved him, but then he burned incense himself. He became so proud that he thought he was important enough to take the position of the priest, and he burned incense. And as he was slamming the priest because they said, you shouldn't be doing this, King Uzziah. You should not be burning this incense. We are the ones told by God to be doing this only. And as he was angry at them, leprosy began to cover his whole body.
Hang on him.
Yes, and he was covered with leprosy. And then his son, do we have a call?
No, we do, but don't lose your place, sir. Okay, I want to talk some more about that. Let's talk to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Darren. This is Steve, the guy that does bathtubs.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm well. How's your business?
It's really slow. I called for prayer this morning. I prayed over you and Barb and the minister this morning.
Well, thank you.
God shall favor to you.
Thank you, brother.
My pastor prayed last Sunday on a subject on bearing our own cross. That has never hit me in the heart like it did over this last week, how we have to carry our burdens, lean on the Lord God, and just depend every moment, every day, every week of our lives on Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
You know, Steve, I wish you'd been with us Saturday. We talked about sowing favor in our days in the future. And I know you've got a calendar someplace in your house or in your office. I'm going to teach you something real quick. You got time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's say this. Let's take Steve and let's say, Steve, since this is Thursday, let's put favor on today and God's favor on tomorrow and all the days next week. And you write that word on the calendar. So when
I have it wrote right in front of me, Derek.
Okay, so when you get to Monday after the weekend, you can say, I'm going to walk into favor. And then take Deuteronomy 8:18 and says, you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who is giving you power to get wealth. And so you put on Monday, put power to get wealth. And see, that's going to start working for you there because your faith is going to grow.
I understand.
And then also protection for you and for your teenage son.
I appreciate you so much, Darren.
Does that make
so much to me?
Man, does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now take it for 30 days out there. 30 days.
30 days.
All right. Now, I met you in that old house, and you'd just done the bathtub down there. I don't know how you put up with all that stinky fumes, man. That stuff eats your lungs.
It's a God blessing.
Well, I know it is, and you do such a wonderful job. You're a wonderful craftsman. Now, when you put that out there, the next 30 days, you put favor and you put blessing, and you put the power to make wealth out there. So, I mean, you put it ahead of time. See, it's like if you bought a house, you went out there and you rearranged the furniture, and then every time when you'd come home, that furniture would be that way. Every morning you get up, the furniture would be arranged. You need to arrange those days ahead of you so you're walking into prosperity, you're walking into favor. And God's Word says He surrounds His children with favor as with a shield.
Amen.
That makes sense to you?
Yes, it does. There may be
something. Sometimes when God asks us to bear our crosses, carry our crosses, it really means God's will crosses our will.
Right.
That means
we need to pray that every day.
Well, He's wanting you to do something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but He's wanting you to change something in your life.
Okay.
He's wanting you to pay attention to something in your life. He's wanting you to, His will here is saying, Steve, there's something in your life I want you to look at, and I want you to change.
Now, Steve,
and then He's going to bring you success, but you got to do it, Steve. You've got to do something in your life that He's asking you to do.
Right. Now, Steve, do you remember how much you sowed into the ministry the day you met me in the basement of that old house?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
How much was it?
$50.
I remember. $50.
Yes,
cash.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, that led me to show love to you that day. And
well, you did.
I still feel very good about that, and I love you very much.
All right, now here, let's just take this. We've been teaching 30-fold in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's 30 times $50?
$1,500.
$1,500. Okay. All right. I'm going to set myself in agreement with you if you want to do that.
Yes,
that God will bring you $1,500 in the next 30 days.
I believe that with all of my heart, Eric.
Okay. So, Father God, I thank you for Steve's gift. He sowed that willingly into the ministry. It was his idea. But, Lord, actually, you're the one that put that on his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, I'm going to thank you for giving Steve the faith to believe for a 30-fold increase in 30 days on that $50. So I'm going to thank you, Jesus, and we're going to hear about the blessing. And Lord, I thank you for bringing more jobs to Steve, for countertops, for bathtubs, for all the things that he does. He's a good workman, Lord, and I thank you for bringing him more work. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Darren and Barb. You guys are, whether you know it or not.
Well, hey, I love you, brother.
I love you guys, too.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.
Keep in touch.
You really inspire me, even at work.
Good. Wonderful. Keep praying for me. When you're down there breathing, when you're down there breathing all those fumes around those bathtubs, pray for me.
I sure will.
Okay. God bless you.
Have a good weekend.
Okay,
Darren.
Man. You too. Remember,
I love you.
30-fold in 30 days.
Okay. I'll be talking to you, I swear.
All right. We'll hook up.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. All right. We're back in Isaiah now. And folks, I'll tell you. You know, we got to wake up and believe this stuff is for real. You know, God can increase your faith if you don't believe. Ask Him for more faith.
He's also asking us to change some of our ways too, Darren.
Yes, that's true.
That's the tough part. And I know that we want to just get, and just enjoy. But God is saying, I want you to discipline the heart of your hearts. I want you to grow up, to be like Jesus. Remember that old song, I have one deep, supreme desire that I might be like Jesus. And Jesus tells us in the New Testament that we can do greater things than He, but we have to be conformed to Him. And there are some things out in this world that we just don't want to give up. So anyway.
Like what don't you want to give up, Barbara?
Oh.
You said we. There's some things in this old world we don't want to give up. What don't you want to give up?
Well, you know, I probably could lose about 10 pounds. And food has been important to me, and it's getting less and less important. I am really making sure day after day that food is not the main thing in my life.
Well, what was the last thing you said to me before we came to do the show?
Well, I hadn't had breakfast, so I said, after this, can
just
we go have lunch? Well, but I'm trying to lessen the calories of what I'm eating at the time.
There is a real good Mexican restaurant just about
you were saying
four or five blocks south of here and just around the corner.
And that's one of your favorites, too, I realize.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't preaching.
Oh, you weren't preaching.
You were.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to get into the word, I think. Uzziah died a leper. His son Jotham, who was a godly man, I find these kings so interesting because one man is very righteous and another man is very wicked. But here this king, Jotham, was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 16 years. He did not enter the temple of the Lord. Now, I find that interesting because his father, Uzziah, did enter the temple of the Lord. He did burn incense, and he wasn't supposed to, and he became a leper. So probably his son saw him in complete misery as a leper, and he says, I'm never going to do that. So he didn't even enter the temple of the Lord.
So who was his son?
His son was Uzziah's son was Jotham. Jotham became king. He became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God.
Okay, now wait just a minute. I've got to stop and say this. Some people say, see there, God put that on this man. Let me tell you how I really believe it works. Mm-hmm. This man stepped out from the anointing of God, committed a sin. In other words, he got over there in the devil's territory. And you know what's in the devil's territory, folks? Curses. Curses.
That's right.
You don't want to be over there. And if something is coming on your life, you need to stop and say, wow, I left a door open for the devil somewhere, and I want to shut that door and get out from under that curse.
Well, and while he was saying, he was enraged. Uzziah was enraged with the priest. The leprosy broke out on his forehead. It didn't say the Lord brought the leprosy. It just said because he went in and did that what was evil and not what he was ordered to do, then the leprosy broke out.
Let me say it to you this way, folks. If I'd walk into a coal mine, I'd get coal dust on me.
Yes.
Okay, now if I stay out of the coal mine, I'm not going to get the coal dust on me. I'm not saying that that's evil. I'm just giving you an example here.
Yes. Now, when Jotham died, and he was a godly king, he ordered his ways according to what God wanted him to do. Now, Ahaz, his son, was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do right in the sight of the Lord, as David his father had done. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. This was Judah, but Israel was thought to be more evil then. Well, here, we're reading in Isaiah 7, when the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as hell or high as heaven. Ask for a sign, Ahaz. I want you to ask me for something. I will give it to you. Do you know what Ahaz said?
Oh, I do.
He said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Now, to the Lord, this was an evil report. This was saying, God, I'm not even going to do that. And Darren, I believe there are people today, God is saying, ask of me, just ask of me anything. I will do it for you. No, siree. I think I know what's best, God, and I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to inquire of you. And there are a lot of people sitting on their sofas, watching television, enjoying the habits that they have formed, which are mostly laziness and compromise and a complacency, and they've never asked of God, and they're wondering why their life hasn't changed, and they haven't asked of God. God's saying, I'm here for you.
Well,
ask me.
And I think his attitude here is what was really rotten. Now, I'm not cooperating with you. Forget you, Lord. I'm not going to do anything that you're asking me to do here. Now, if we take the same book of Isaiah, and we go to Isaiah 43:26, here's what he's saying. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. I use that scripture sometimes if I'm praying for things where I just need a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, okay, I've outlined all this book of promises here. Why don't you come up here and talk to me?
Yes.
Why don't you remind me of what I've said and state your case and let us argue our case together? God is arguing his case. He says, listen, I've promised this, and I don't lie. I'm not a man that I should lie. I've made this promise. Now, why don't you argue, tell me why you think you ought to have this thing?
Yes, I believe
that. And basically God's saying, why don't you agree with me? Come into the courtroom here and let's have an agreement here. Let's argue this case based on what's gone on before.
Yes. Well, this wicked King Ahaz that God was asking to give a sign, this king burned his sons to gods. He actually sacrificed his sons to gods. Do you know what sign God said he would give to him? Ah, this is wonderful.
Read it.
Listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. You've killed your sons. You've sacrificed your sons to demon gods. I'm going to give my son. I'm going to give my only begotten son, my only son. And she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to show you, Ahaz, what I can do, what my power can do in this world.
Okay, now, you gave that so quickly. Now, we Christians have been around for a while. We know that Emmanuel means God with us.
Mm-hmm.
You put that together in a sentence, it almost sounds like it just runs on. But remember this. And some of the kids today are called Emmanuel, and they call him Manny, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's God with us. This son, Jesus, that's going to be born of the Virgin here, is going to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to be way up there in the sky somewhere, way parked up in heaven, running around in heaven, you know. He came down earth to tell us about his Father.
Do you know God knew that he was going to die? He was going to see his only begotten son die on a cross, a cruel death. Now, Ahaz had flippantly given his sons, sacrificed them to demon gods. But God said here, I'm going to make my son's death worth something. His death is going to be the reclamation of every person who will receive him as Savior. And, Darren, you just can't. You can't undo the plans of God. You can't.
You're just blessed reading the Word, aren't you?
His plans are so much higher than our plans.
Right. Okay, now I want to give you this, Barb. This is just for you today, and a lot of other people are listening in. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Is there any other God besides me, or is there any other rock? I know of none. God is saying that. Jesus, the rock.
Yes.
And he's saying there's no other gods, no other God. I know of none. God is saying that. If he knew of one, he mentioned it.
So Jesus is not the brother of Lucifer, as the Mormons believe. And Jesus is the Son of God, whom the Islams do not even recognize as the Son of God. So we know, we really want to warn you of people in society today, and there are many, many different religions in the United States. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
And don't
be wise in your discernment. That's right. And, you know, Darren, I appreciate you spoke to them through the screen door. And
you know what they were pushing? They weren't pushing the Bible, they're pushing the Book of Mormon. Would you like to have a free Book of Mormon?
No,
I said, no, I wouldn't.
Thank you.
All right, now here in Exodus 15:11, I want to give you that at the very end of our show today. Here's what it says. Who is like thee among the gods, small g, O God? Who is like thee? Majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. You'll start praising God, you'll start seeing him work wonders in your life. Again, let me give this to you, and this is the best thing I can give you when we say goodbye today, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. But who is like thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? He works wonders for us, miracles for us, and he can do that for you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in